from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today we have updates from Legislative Day 20 in South Dakota's 101st Legislative Session. At the Capitol Building in Pierre today, a bill making clergy members mandatory reporters is killed, a conflict of interest bill dies in committee, House Judiciary backs an interpretive services bill, and more. It's Wednesday, February 10th. Here are today's stories. A committee kills a bill designating clergy members, such as rabbis and priests, as mandatory reporters of child abuse and neglect. House Bill 1216 would put members of the clergy in the same breath as teachers, social workers, law enforcement, and doctors as mandatory reporters. Under 10 conditions outlined in state statute, clergy members would be required to report abuses including sexual abuse, improper home without proper care, and legal guardians knowingly exposing a child to an environment that's using or selling controlled drugs. Representative Erin Healy is the bill's prime sponsor. She says that if nothing harmful is happening, nothing will be uncovered.
And this bill is not about punishing clergy. It's not about turning faith leaders into agents. It's asking to remove ambiguity. It's asking to remove a gray area. It takes the burden off individual judgment calls, and it makes it very clear that protecting a child is not optional.
The South Dakota Catholics Conference raised concerns that the bill would violate religious practice during the sacrament of confession. If a priest were to break that code of confidentiality in confession, it would lead to excommunication from the church. A similar bill was made law in Washington. It was contested in court, but ultimately agreed that clergy members are not required to disclose information if it's, quote, solely through confession or its equivalent in other faiths. Healy says HB 1216 has protections for such religious practices baked in. Another proponent is Melissa McCauley, a lobbyist for the South Dakota Network Against Family Violence and Sexual Assault, who says the issue is in South Dakota.
Again, we have 72 organizations across the 66 counties. When Representative Healy asked about bringing this bill, I put an ask out to our organizations. And within an hour, I had about 8 comments back to us saying this is an issue.
Still, others raised concerns about all 10 conditions clergy would be mandated to report on in state statute. Representative John Hughes calls the intent of the bill pure, but votes against it.
If I'm a member of the clergy, I'm going to have my lawyer on speed dial, and I'm going to be seeking legal opinions because I don't want to get charged with a crime. But my concern is that we're going to potentially destroy the clergy, the role of the clergy, because generally when you report, you've breached the relationship, you've created a betrayal.
HB 1216 dies in the House Judiciary Committee following an 8-4 vote. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A bill seeking to strengthen South Dakota's conflict of interest and corruption laws dies in committee. While most described it as well-intended, criticism ranged from redundancies to overstepping the line of legislative authority. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
A key provision of this bill would give the House and Senate Judiciary Committees the legal authority to summon people to the Capitol. Piedmont Republican Senator John Carley is the prime sponsor.
This bill simply does 3 things. It solidifies legislative subpoenas. 2, it strengthens whistleblower protections. And 3, it clarifies the conflict of interest provisions.
However, opposition described the bill as largely redundant, pointing to recent reforms within state government that went into effect in the last year. Senate Pro Tem Chris Carr was visibly skeptical of the bill and questioned an out-of-state lobbyist about the need for judiciary committees to have subpoena power.
I just want you to understand how we do things, I guess, in South Dakota. As far as our judiciary committee meets during session only, our GOAC committee meets year-round. Our judiciary committee hears bills. They're a policy committee, and they don't really do investigations and oversight. That's just not something that they do, but that's why we have the GOAC committee. So give me an example from these other states where a judiciary committee like ours has used subpoenas and would need to use subpoenas.
That lobbyist was unable to answer Carr's question. Spearfish Senator Randy Dieber then moved to kill the bill. He says it oversteps the bounds of what the legislative branch of government should be capable of.
There's things in this bill that have merit, and there's a couple things that don't. That's why I had the motion. On the last part of this bill, it talks about instructing the judicial system what to do. And I don't think that's our time and place. That's a separate and distinct entity, and we should treat them that way.
The bill died on a 7-1 vote in the Senate State Affairs Committee. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Pierre.
Lawmakers advance a bill requiring state government to pick up the bill on interpretive services during a contested administrative case.
Please identify yourself.
Hihani washte. Chante washte nape chiuzapi. Iyamitaka mie. Elizabeth Beth Lone Eagle.
You're hearing the words of Elizabeth Lone Eagle. She's speaking on behalf of a group of Lakota speakers protesting a uranium mining exploration case in southwest South Dakota. She speaks Lakota to the House Judiciary Committee to show what it's like to be part of a proceeding you can't understand. Existing law doesn't require the state to provide interpretive services. House Bill 1219 changes that. Lone Eagle goes on to tell lawmakers she simply introduced herself and counted to 10 in Lakota. But without an interpreter, they wouldn't have known that.
If I was not forthcoming with you about that, and that was a demonstration of one of the necessities of this, of these services in these contested cases, because just as I'm sure you were very respectful and trying to see if you could follow what I was saying, it was very difficult for you, and maybe at some point some of you even tuned that out.
That experience, she says, is the same felt by Lakota elders in the contested mining case. Representative Eric Mucky is the bill's prime sponsor. He says while there is a fiscal impact,
a very small fiscal impact with a very big impact positively for the state of South Dakota,
the bill meets no opposition during testimony and advances after an 8-1 vote. MSDPB's Jackson Dirks. The state Senate is advancing a joint resolution asking voters to expand online and mobile sports betting statewide in exchange for property tax relief. Senate Joint Resolution 504 would put that question to a vote of the people this November. If passed, 90% of online sports wager revenue would be constitutionally required to provide property tax relief. The resolution allows the state legislature to mandate rules around online sports wagering. Proponents say the state is losing out on revenue from online wagering. Opponents say it would lead to more gambling addictions. The resolution advances out of the Senate on a 23-10 vote. It next heads to the House. When a nursing home closes in South Dakota, the former owner often puts restrictions on how the building can be used in the future. House Bill 1105 looks to prohibit that practice in medically underserved areas. Proponents say it gives small towns the chances to preserve local long-term care options when larger corporations pull out. But the state's three major health systems say it encroaches on private property rights. Assistant House Majority Leader Marty Overweg is the bill's prime sponsor. He says this bill doesn't take anything from anyone.
It doesn't force you to sell. It doesn't tell you what price you have to sell it for. And it doesn't tell you who you can sell it to. Those are four pretty strong property rights that are protected here. In fact, the only thing it tells you you can't do is to hang that non-compete on a small community, 600-800 people, and take and push their elderly people 60-70 miles away, probably 80, to a facility that they don't know.
The House passed the bill by a vote of 45-20. It moves next to a committee hearing in the Senate. The bill marks a bipartisan response after the Good Samaritan Society facility in Corsica announced plans to close last fall. Most residents are transferring to a facility in Wagner, about 30 miles away. Lawmakers advance a bill that creates an enhanced penalty for animal abuse. The bill was brought in response to the killing of a horse to West River. Senator Taffy Howard is the bill's prime sponsor.
So the problem is not that our law fails to capture cruelty. The problem is that our sentencing structure fails to distinguish between all cruelty and torture-level cruelty.
Senate Bill 156 makes torture-level animal cruelty's max penalty a 10-year prison sentence and $20,000 fine. Current statute has the max sentence for any animal cruelty at 2 years in prison and a $2,000 fine. Senator Kevin Jensen shares a personal story on the Senate floor where he was touched by animal cruelty.
About 20 years ago, we had three yearling steers brutally attacked. And because of the vicious attack on them, the wicked attack on them, I'm not going to mention the details, but they were all killed and tortured till they died. But at the time, the penalty really wasn't worth the sheriff trying to spend a lot of time figuring out who it was. We never did find out who it was, but it was very traumatic to my children because they're their 4-H steers. This does happen, and it's been happening for a while.
No senators spoke against the bill. It advances out of the Senate 25-8.
Legislative coverage on SDPB is supported by the South Dakota Bar Foundation, SDN Communications, Missouri River Energy Services, and your membership in the Friends of SDPB. Thank you.
The Huron School District is facing cuts, including layoffs, amid a budget shortfall. Several district leaders addressed the issue at the latest Huron School Board meeting. The district is making nearly $600,000 in cuts from the general fund in this year's budget. Officials cited several reasons for the shortfall, namely decreasing enrollment. Other issues were inflation and a loss of interest earned on savings accounts. District Superintendent Greg Steinhoff says they do not intend to try and raise money through an opt-out vote. Instead, the district is focusing on cuts. The Huron Daily Plainsman reports the high school is seeing the largest cuts, including the loss of four teaching positions. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.